Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Nothing does a chap so much good as an evening out with the boys. It does him even more good if the boys are paying for it. Unfortunately, when I'm out with them, I usually find the boys have all mislaid their wallets, they've left their money in their other suits, or they all swear blind they thought the party was on me anyway. Needless to say, Troutbridge has at least one of that sort.
Come on, out we get. We're here. Dockyard gates all change.
Well, how can we get out with you stuck in the doorway, fatso?
Oh, shabar ginger in the box seat. Me head's going round and so are me feet.
Oh, pardon?
Well, gents, are you going to tip him out of me cap or am I?
No, thanks. Don't bother, Ginger. Come on out of that blooming cab. Now then, how much on the clock, my man?
7 and 9 months.
Taffy, it's 7 Taffy? Taffy, where you going?
Well, he always goes when it's time to pay for something. And don't bother to tell me how much it is. I'm skint.
You're rotten, that's what you are. You're a rotten pair of rottens who are rotten. 7 and 9 pence, you said, my man?
That's right.
Here you are, then. 8 bob. Keep the change.
What, all of it?
Has he gone?
Yeah, and I've paid so he can come out now, miser.
I'll have you know that I can be as generous as the next man when I've got it.
And I'll have you know I've never known you to have it since I've known you.
Now, there's no need for you two to take the mickey.
Well,
I'd be only too happy to pay if number one had given me the promotion he promised me when we were in Onabushka.
Well, I wish he'd hurry up and give it you then.
Well, I keep sort of dropping it into the conversation whenever I see him, but all he says is that he's thinking about it. You can't go around spending his thinks.
Yeah, that's true. But here, Taffy, why don't you see number one about it on request men and defaulters tomorrow?
Just what I am going to do.
Good. I'll be there to keep you company. I'm on defaulters again. I'm taking a cam back for the chief, as usual. Number one inspected the stores this morning, and we were 3 blankets short.
Is that all?
No, but that's all he spotted. He'll be all right, though. The chief's going to get me off. He promised. He said if I told him I'd lost the blankets, he'd get me off.
Oh, there's one born every minute. Oh, I'm glad I'm going to be on that parade tomorrow. I want to see your face when you realize you've fallen for it again.
Excuse me, sir, but whilst you hold requestmen defaulters, would you mind if I sat in?
Sat in what, Mr. Phillips?
Oh, any old chair that... Oh. Yeah, very funny. I just feel that if a chap's an officer, then a chap should know about these things. I've been reading it all up in this book of Queen's Regulations.
I take it somebody else had already borrowed Noddy Rides Again. Come in.
Requestman and defaulters present, sir.
Splendid, so are we. You better wheel the first requestman in, Chief.
With due respect, sir, there's only one, and that's Abel Seaman Goldstein, sir, about his advancement, sir.
Yes, well, in that case, we'd better see the defaulters first.
All right, sir, there's only one of those this morning, is it?
Johnson, I presume.
Yes, that's correct, sir. Are you still proceeding with the charge?
Well, I inspected the stores again this morning, as you requested, Chief, and I admit the blankets are all there now. But I think we'll have a word with Fatso first.
Aye, aye, sir. Right, and Fatso, remember what I told you, and you're in the clear.
How I got lumbered for this, I'll never know. I'm not happy. I'm not, you know. I'm not happy. No.
Well, it's just as well. You go in there laughing all over your chops and you'll go straight in the rattle.
I probably will anyway.
Don't argue. Off caps.
La Blimey, jolly unnerving, that.
What?
Oh, seeing all that weight charged straight at you, sir. I never thought he'd pull up in time.
So neither did I.
Neither did I.
Remember where you are, Johnson. Just remember that. Remember where you are. I will see what Johnson said. Charged that he did mislay or remove Admiralty property, sir, as listed. Blankets woolen, three regions issue, sir.
Yes, all right. just a minute. Now then, Johnson, you'll recall that when I inspected the stores yesterday, the chief proved beyond all shadow of a doubt, as far as he was concerned, and entirely to his own satisfaction, that you must have been in sole charge of these blankets when they disappeared.
Yes, I remember that very clearly. I had me mouth open at the time, sir.
Yes, I noticed. However, at the chief's request, I inspected stores again this morning, and the blankets are now correct.
Oh, well, there we are then,
Bright. Not so fast, chief. I also inspected Able Seaman Johnson's bunk this morning, and I found there were none of his blankets to be seen.
Hey, Fatso's blankets gone of all the thieving? No wonder I was going to be in the clear. Me bones will be frozen to the cauliflower.
No, they won't, Johnson. I have a pretty fair idea what's been going on, so I intend to dismiss the charge.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And whilst you're here, Chief, I thought you might care to make a small donation of, say, £3 to the ship's comfort fund.
£3? £3? What from me?
Accepted, Chief. Very generous. Now, as treasurer of the fund, I award £3 to Johnson for the purpose of supplying himself with, additional blankets. Dismiss.
Right, Johnson. Right, Johnson. On. Cats. About. Tail. Peek. March. A lift. A lift. A lift. A lift. A lift. A lift. A lift.
Next.
Ghosty! Ghosty! Quake! Punch! Lift-rod, dip-rod, 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 requestman, Abel Simon Goldstein, sir.
So I see. What is it, Goldstein?
Well, sir, I don't want to be difficult.
Splendid. Nice to have seen you. Carry on, Gene.
Oh, sir, Goldstein, Goldstein, hail!
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir, if I might interrupt as the prisoner's friend.
Prisoner's friend? He's not a prisoner.
Yet. Well, as the requestman's mate, then, sir. According to my book here, it definitely states that the rating of the first part, who is not necessarily of the second part, is entitled to state in the first part, here in after, referred to as the statement in the second part, which doesn't prohibit the sailor of the first part. Or the second hand. The part of a sailor in the third watch could watch the sailor with his first part. Who parted with his watch to the sailor of the third. And that is if the defense rests.
Yes, just as well. Or the officer of the first part would have booted the officer of the second part smartly in the third part.
With due respect, sir, could the requestman of the first part have a word in the second place, sir?
Oh, very well. What is it, Goldstein?
It's about my advancement, sir. There was a certain sort of gentleman's agreement, sir, when we were on Onabushka, that Able Seaman Goldstein was going to be leading Seaman Goldstein. And up to now, Able Seaman Goldstein is still Able Seaman Goldstein, sir.
Now, I've told you before, Goldstein, the matter is under my constant consideration.
You have indeed, sir, but I was hoping by now you might have done with considering, sir. Otherwise, starboard lookout may not see certain things that are there and might see certain things that aren't. Sir.
You know, he's got a case, sir.
As the sailor of the first part, who's to be the leading seaman of the second part. Yes,
He most definitely is entitled to have a third part.
Mr. Phillips, I do wish you'd nip along to the library and see if Noddy Rides Again has been returned. The Queen's regulations aren't doing you any good at all. Very well, Goldstein. I'll see Captain Povey about your advancement today.
Oh, thank you, sir. I was hoping you would, sir, because if you didn't, I was thinking of being back here again tomorrow, sir.
Yeah, that'll do. Leave it to me, and I'll let you know the result in about a week or so.
Oh, hello, Heather. Where are you off to?
Signals office. There's a signal coming from Admiralty, which they reckon is urgent, and, well, they haven't got a runner.
Oh, well, on your marks, get set, bang. Off you go.
Very funny. Next time, I'll put on my shorts.
Oh, I shouldn't bother. That is, I mean, they're hardly worth it. Cool.
I think you'd better go and see Captain Povey. He's waiting for you.
Oh, dear.
Come in.
You wanted to see us in our shorts, sir. you wanted us short-circuited. I think I'll come back later.
You'll stay right where you are. Number one, I've just had the dockyard police on the phone about one of your ratings.
Which one is that, sir?
The fat one. Johnson. Abel Seaman Johnson.
Oh, that can't be right. There aren't any dockyard policemen called Abel Seaman Johnson. I mean, how could an Abel Seaman be a dockyard? Dockyard.
Well, Mr. Phillips, have you caught up with us yet?
Yeah, very nearly, sir.
I asked you here because I'm just as puzzled as the police are.
Why, what's Patso been up to this time?
Well, the police caught him trying to smuggle free blankets in through the gate. Not out. In. He insists that he bought them in Gosport at the Ebenezer Pertwee's self-service war surplus supply stores.
Lummy. So that's where the first three went.
Excuse me. Oh, this is absolutely cool.
Ren Chasen, kindly control yourself and explain what it is that you find so amusing.
Well, I'm trying to, but really, I wouldn't have missed this.
Heather, what...
Now, some of you two, really.
Ren Chasen, number one. Mr. Phillips. What the blazes are you all cackling about?
I've no idea.
Well, I have. It's this signal about Abel Seaman Goldstein's advancement.
Goldstein's? Oh, have they made him up?
Oh, they have, and how. They've made him into a commodore.
What?
Cool. Jackpot.
Goldstein? Commodore? But this is ludicrous. But there's been some mistake. Tell Signals to have it checked at once.
I already have, sir. Twice. And they confirm promotion to Commodore to take effect immediately.
But they're mad. But they've gone clean off their bungling, idiotic rockers. But something's got to be done about this at once.
Well, sir, I imagine the first thing will be to tell Commodore Goldstein.
Tell him? Oh, certainly not. Oh, no, I'm not going to
tell him. Oh, I think you should, sir. I mean, supposing it isn't a mistake. It might be some experiment Admiralty are trying, and if they heard that you hadn't informed the Commodore, well...
Oh, dear, yes, I hadn't thought of it. Yes, thank you, number one, yes. Well, we'd better get aboard Troutbridge at once and tell him.
Yes, and can we be there when you do, sir?
Why?
Well, that means he'll be one rank higher than you, sir.
What?
And I think once that sinks in, it might get jolly exciting.
Really? Honestly, what these fools will get up to next is quite beyond me. Hello?
I've found Abel Seaman Goldstein as requested, sir, and he's here.
Good man. Ask him to come in, please.
Oh, sir. Mark Goldstein! What about that, mate? Okay. Hey!
No, stop that.
Stop that.
You can't. You mustn't talk to her. To her.
Go see.
What's wrong, sir?
I think Captain Covey feels we might regret any harsh words spoken to Abel C. This gentleman.
Aye? Harsh words? But Goldstein's the biggest layup out in the entire...
Chief! Take my word for it, come out of the rain.
But he is, sir. Many's the time I've heard you say it to yourself. I've heard you say that of all the lazy, good for nothing...
Chief! You just can't help some people, can you?
Well, you ought to know we've never got anywhere with you either.
Will you be quiet?
Now then, Abel C. My man, you've been made up to... Oh, number one, you tell him I can't bear to.
It's Tony. Well, don't say they've made him a petty officer.
Well, not quite, Chief. Goldstein, you've been made a commodore, sir.
Made a commodore. Made a... Ah! Oh, highly comical, sir. What are your best, sir? You're a proper card.
Go on, Goldstein, laugh.
Ha, ha, ha.
It is not a joke. You have been made a commodore with effect from now.
Stone the cruise. It's true. Here, I wonder what you get for calling a commodore a lazy layabout.
Will you all stop interrupting? Now, obviously this ridiculous promotion is some sort of a mistake.
Well, I don't see that at all. Richly deserved, I'd say, and not before time neither. Right, well, there's going to be some changes round here. And for a start, we're putting to sea at once.
Oh, now, look here.
Watch it. Failing to comply with an order given by a superior officer can get very nasty. Yeah, I'm not risking them putting a stop to this, so you're going to sea before they get the chance.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll be getting back to my
office.
Oh,
no, you won't, Bovey. I want my... I want my junior officers on board with me. You're staying here. Chief?
Sir? No.
Oh, no, you don't. You mean sir. I'm going to enjoy this. Chief, we're going to Stores.
We are?
Yes. For the time being, I want a nice fat ring painted on each of me sleeves and a bit of cardboard I can shove in me hat as a peak. Goldstein's governor from here on, see? Stand by to sail.
But where are we going?
Now, where do you think we're going? I've been trying to get there ever since I signed on. Swansea, of course.
Well, I don't know about you, sir, but I, for one, am sick of doing day trips round Swansea Bay for our Commodore's Aunt Gwyneth, Uncle Di, Evans the Sweet Shop, Williams the Duskart, and the rest of them.
I must admit, there seem to have been quite a few.
A few? I reckon we must have given rides to every person in his hometown. And half the miners under it.
Well, I find it flaming difficult to take him seriously with that great fat ring painted on his sleeve and that bit of cardboard covered in scrambled eggs stuck in his hat for a peek.
So, I know what you mean, but it wouldn't be so bad if he hadn't cut the cardboard from a box of cornflakes.
Yeah. Yeah, quite, Sam. And how can you keep a straight face when you look at a bloke and see that he's got free gift inside written on his head?
Yeah, well, that's better than the first piece he had. That proclaimed to the world that his head was the large economy size and worth double.
Yeah. His head's the large economy size, all right. Heads don't come no bigger, heads don't. Look, can't Captain Povey do something, sir? Apart from sitting in the WT room, waiting for the signal to say that it's all a mistake?
Hardly. Goldstein's the superior officer, Chief.
And where is our fine leader of men at the moment?
He's taking Aunt Morpeth round the ship, sir, and explaining how the Royal Navy couldn't make a move without Commodore Goldstein, sir.
Uh-oh. Heads down, here comes our master mariner and his aunt for the tour of the bridge.
I'm delighted to hear it, sir.
You're what?
Delighted, sir. I think I've just had an idea that you'll put a stop to all these gadabouts on the briny for the common old all's kith and kin.
In you go, auntie. This is me bridge.
Oh, there's a lovely view you've got. But they might have given you a bit of lino on the floor.
Well, I'll chat the first sea lord back about that next time we have fish and chips at his club, Auntie.
Oh, there's lucky you are to have such a clever commodore as our Tuppy. I'll bet you think a lot of him.
Well, we think quite a lot about him.
Careful, number one. Commodore's listening, and I've got a memory like a ledger. Now, this one here is our chief petty officer.
I thought it must be. Proper mean-looking. Just like you described him in your letters when you used to be put upon so disgusting-like.
Oh, now, come on, have a heart, madam. Have an heart. I mean, give a dog a bad burn and all that sort of thing, you know. I mean, you were speaking of the days before our grand old man of the seas. Our beloved Commodore Goldstein. Help me to see the error of my way.
Hello, hello, hello. What's coming? I don't like the sound of this.
Work wonders. He worked wonders, the Commodore has, madam. Work wonders, yeah. You know, before his promotion, we was a disgrace to the Royal Navy. The ship was dirty and always making smoke and all that. But he's stopped it all. He's stopped all that now.
Then I bet I know how he's done it. Our Tuffy has made sure you've only had the best Welsh coal in your boilers. There's nothing to touch Welsh coal for that cleanliness, you know.
Oh, I think I'm with it now.
You are? I'm not.
Wait a minute, madam. Did you say coal? Did I hear you say coal?
Yes, well, I think we'd better be moving on now,
Auntie. Oh, wait a minute. Commodore, sir. When you were showing your auntie the engine room, surely you explained to her that we're oil burning.
Oil burning?
That's right, madam. We burn gallons of the stuff. Jolly economical, too.
Tuffy Goldstein, how dare you? Oil burning indeed.
Well, it's only my fault, is it?
Oh, yes, it is. You could have chatted the first sea lord back about it, couldn't you? And if he wouldn't have you converted back to coal, then you've no right as a Welshman to be lording it on this floating den of wickedness.
But, Auntie, I...
A traitor, that's what you are. A traitor to the land of your fathers. And not only your fathers, but your uncles and your aunties as well.
Auntie, you don't understand.
I understand, all right. From here onwards, Mr. Commodore, you're going to be classed as an undesirable alien.
But, Auntie...
And if you're smart, you'll use up some of that depraved oil of yours and get this lost ship from the fair land of Wales before the rest of the family hears about your misdemeanor.
Well said, madam, and this way out.
Thank you. At least the rest of you can be excused from this terrible thing. You can't help being English.
Auntie, will you please slow down?
Not until I've shaken the oil-ridden dust of this ship off my Welsh shoes. And don't you ever darken our pit head again, do ye, Auntie?
Funny woman. Fancy getting upset just because we burn oil. You know, Pertwee, I don't think you should have mentioned it. She was definitely not.
Let's not even try to explain why you did, Chief. Seems to have done the trick all right. I think we'd better stand by to put to sea, don't you?
Aye, at last, aye, sir.
And well done. Very neat.
Thank you, sir.
Oh. Now I get it. You said it deliberately to get her going.
Oh, you're sharp at times, Mr. Phillips, sir. Yeah, but it wasn't only to get her going, but to get us going as well.
And what was that for, Mr. Phillips? Sheer joie de vivre, because you've made the open sea without hitting anything?
Well, how did you guess?
Just as well. The sooner we're well away from Wales, the safer I'll feel. You can't we go any faster?
Well, we might be able to, but the ship can't.
Oh, I reckon he saves the mottos out of crackers every year.
I say, you chaps, I've just been getting some rather unfortunate signals.
I've never known you get any other kind, Lieutenant Bates. What are they?
Well, it's just the tiniest bit tricky with the Commodore on the bridge, sir, because he isn't.
Yes, I am. I've been here for hours.
No, I'm rather afraid you don't seem to be a Commodore at all, Taffy, old man.
What?
It seems that records found out they'd boobed rather badly because there are two Goldstein T's in the service. The whole mistake came to light when they found a certain Captain Thomas Goldstein had been promoted leading seaman.
I bet he went a bit puce.
Oh, dear. So Taffy shouldn't have been a Commodore at all.
Ah, it's a shame. It's the bloated capitalists lauded over the damn trodden peasants as usual. Oh, no. One law for the rich, one law for the starboard lookouts.
Oh, do shut up. Well, Goldstein, what have you got to say about all this?
Why, don't think I mind, sir. I think I've had enough Commodoring, really. I mean, I've been ostracized by the family. Fatso and Ginger won't speak to me. And let's face it, sir, I don't really fit in up here.
Oh, nonsense.
No, sir, if you don't mind, I think I'd rather turn it in now. I've had enough. It was nice while it lasted, but I don't want to go on.
Very well, able seaman Goldstein. We take it you relinquish your command.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Bates, does Captain Povey know about this yet?
No, sir. As you know, he's been sitting right beside me in the WT room, waiting for this signal, but he waited so long, he finally fell asleep.
Then perhaps we'd better not bother him till we get back to Portsmouth, then.
What a good idea, sir. Otherwise, he'll be lording it over this floating den of wickedness all the way back.
Blimey, we're aground.
Mr. Phillips.
Well, it's hardly my fault, sir. I mean, starboard lookout should have told us we were over a dodgy bit. Hey, who is he?
Oh, dear, I never thought of that. When I was made up, I forgot to replace myself. We haven't got a starboard lookout.
Number one. I mean, Commodore, what on earth is going on? Are we or are we not aground?
Ever so slightly, yes, sir.
Splendid.
Eh?
Pardon? I said splendid. This'll put a stop to all this ridiculous promotion nonsense. As senior officer aboard, Commodore, you are director responsible. Now, let me see. There's hazarding your ship, damaging Admiralty property.
I wouldn't go any further.
Oh, I most certainly will. I'm going to make a full report.
Oh, well, in that case, sir, can we make one out as well?
Oh, certainly. Your evidence will be most useful.
I doubt whether you really want it, though, Captain Povey, sir.
Not want it? Why ever not?
Well, you see, we've had a signal, and the Commodore's promotion was rather a large mistake.
Goldstein has resigned.
So that makes you senior officer.
At the time, we ran aground.
Sir. Me, senior officer at the time. It's a trick. I don't know how you've done it, but it must be.
Hazarding the ship?
Damaging Admiralty property?
Endangering the lives of naval personnel? And Pertwee's in particular.
This is monstrous.
Beg pardon, sir. I know this may not be quite the right time to bring it up, but when you can see your way clear, I'd still like to be a leading seaman.
Goldstein, one of these days I'll...
Consider it, sir.
Oh, very well, I'll consider it.
And that was John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Able Seaman Ginger was Michael Bates, Able Seaman Goldstein was Tony Levins, and Aunt Morpeth was played by Heather Chasen. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston. Thank you.